City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
It is the weekend. It's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool, and this is Bloke Talk for the next 60 minutes. It's quite simple, really. It's blokes talking about stuff. You know, it really is quite simple, quite uncomplicated. I'm one of the blokes. My name's Duncan Barks, and with me in the studio this weekend, two gentlemen, two fellow chaps, geezers, blokes who we'll be shooting the breeze with and chewing the cud over the next 60 minutes here at City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. One of my guests to my immediate left, which means absolutely nothing to you, is a gentleman by the name of Rob Jones. He comes from Haydock. He worked in local government for a big chunk of his life, so we need to find out more about that. But also, in his twilight years, as he describes it, he works for an IT security company. So we'll say hello to you. Hello.
Hello there.
Thank you very much for joining us in the studio. And also, to my far left, is a man I've only recently kind of come across, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, and I do pride myself on being a very honest broadcaster. He's actually quite rock and roll in many ways. And even now, this weekend, this time of the weekend, he's sitting here in his shades looking incredibly cool. And he is at Radio City, which is our pop music channel next door here at City Talk. His name is Rick Vaughan. Say hello.
What a build-up that was.
Did you like that?
Yeah. What a bit. I want to show the bit where you said a guy you'd recently come across.
Yeah.
But besides that, what a great build-up.
Well, I was trying to be polite, and now you've brought the tone down to a very low level, only 3 or 4 minutes into the show.
There you go.
Thank you for that. We set the standard. So we're here over the next part of the next hour just talking about stuff. And really, it's just a kind of radio. It's a kind of conversation you might have if you were, you know, down the pub, had a few mates around for a few beers. You know, there's no agenda, there's no script on this show. Probably some weeks it becomes incredibly obvious there's no script for this show. And we just talk about stuff. If you'd like to get involved in a future edition of Bloke Talk, you can. The website is www.citytalk.fm. Go there. You can fill out a form online, they tell me, well, the IT specialists do. As long as you don't sound too mad, we'll get you in and you can be part of Bloke Talk one weekend. Rick Vaughan, there's a story to tell there, because I was looking at your website the other day, and it's quite an impressive little lineup. But before we talk about your website, I want to find out more about Rob Jones, because you're a Haydock man. Have you been a Haydock man all your life?
I've been a Haydock man ever since I got married. My family on my father's side are all born and bred Haydock. Yeah. And once me and my wife got married, we decided to settle in Haydock. And that has been predominantly the biggest part of my life, because that's 32 years married this year. So, yeah.
What's that like?
Well, married for 32
years. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm about 5 years in. Rick, I don't even think's married, are you?
I'm married to the job.
Of course.
Aren't we all?
So what's 32 years like?
Well, obviously, because I've been married for 32 years, it's obviously happy, you know?
No, that's good.
Yeah. We get on very well. Yeah. The secret is your own space.
Yeah.
Let my wife do what she wants to do when we do things together.
Yeah.
Just come back off holiday. So, but if she wants her holidays on her own with her friends, that's cool as well.
So it's an old cliche, but is compromise the key?
Compromise is the key, and space is the key as well, I think. You know, your own individual space is what you need. Mm. You know, you need to do your own thing, and that's what we both do.
I only ask because, you know, if I can achieve 32 years, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. So congratulations. And, I mean, Haydock, the essence of Haydock, why remain in Haydock for so long?
Haydock, as far as I understand, used to be the largest village in Europe, and it used to be... Okay. Like village life, but I suppose people who live in Highton, that's called Highton Village, and there's nothing like a village anymore.
No.
Believe me, because I worked there for the best part of my life.
Yeah.
But you just get used to the people. But like any area these days, it's now overdeveloped.
Yeah.
Find a bit of land, build some houses.
Yeah.
So it's probably lost its attraction from that sort of... desire, but it still has a lot of friends there. Not many great pubs, I have to say.
Really? Are you a pub fan?
I'm a drink fan.
You're a drink fan?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that later, because I went through a phase on this radio show. I made the mistake, and I mention this every couple of months. You know, when we started this show, I went to the boss thinking it'd be the right thing to do, to go, look, it's bloke talk and it's blokes talking. And, you know, because we're blokes, sometimes we need a little bit of assistance. So occasionally, you know, the odd can or a bottle of wine would be quite a good idea. And he said, well, no, you can't have alcohol in the studios. And I since realised that this time at the weekend, we could have just done it anyway because there's no one around. Yeah. It goes back to this ancient Chinese proverb. I think it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Exactly.
So I do apologise. We're in a dry studio. Well, I'll talk about the lack of pubs in Haydock a little bit later on, and we're going to find out more about your kind of work. Talking of work, let's find out more about Rick Vaughan. Well, I don't know, because, you see, doing a little bit of research on you, as being the proper journalist I'm supposed to be, you're everywhere.
Literally.
Yeah, you are everywhere. You've been everywhere, in the Northwest as well.
Radio-wise, yeah. Only in the past 10 years, really. Yeah. That's about all.
Well, yeah, 10 years is a long time.
Yeah, well, it is, I suppose, to actually have been in it professionally and survived and earned a living in this day and age, then it is.
It is an achievement. So what are you doing now for the pop music channel next door, which, of course, people will listen to when they're not listening to City Talk 105.9? What's your regular gig on there?
My regular shift is drive time. So it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon through till 7 in the evening, Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
And then at the weekends, I pop in and do a little ditty called Entertainment City, which is basically a roundup of what's going on in the Northwest and how great it is for entertainment.
All right, so that's the context of where you are now. But well, what about the past? I mean, what was the starting point for Rick Vaughan? Because we've had various people in from well, actually, both radio stations are also based here in the Tower. And, you know, people have various ways of starting in broadcasting. You know, sometimes it was just by accident. You know, sometimes it's just what they always wanted to do from the age of 7 and had radio bedrooms going on and stuff like that. What's your story?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to be honest with you, pretty sort of similar story, and it's ironic I should be back here at Radio City 10 years from where it all began, because my very first radio gig was here 10 years ago. Not in the Tower, it was in the old Stanley Street building. And I got a gig there doing overnights, weekend lates. But I just...
How did you get that gig, though? What's the story there?
Well, I basically got fed up standing behind the DJ box in pubs and clubs and... Just punters doing my head in, and just I thought I don't need this.
So what age were you doing that from then? I mean,
pubs and clubs, 15, 16.
Right, so you'd be there and kind of like, who there? We had someone else. It was last week, wasn't it? We had a dance music disc jockey in.
Oh, professional.
Yeah, a guy called Pez, who you'll know. You know, he sort of like started off, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this side of life, Rob. You probably have done as a punter, but you know these guys who are lugging these big beer crates of 7-inch singles up fire escapes, you know, and then they've got their twin turntables, and they have what was it we were talking about, Pez, about the traffic light lights, you know, the ones that would go would flash, and he was a bit embarrassed, but he'd been there. Have you ever had any experience?
Been there and done it.
Have you done that?
Been
as well?
There and done it, yeah.
Really, where did you do that?
Just all around St Helens.
Right.
Actually did it on the Royal Irish once, which was amazing, because it was the trade union that I used to belong to when I was working for the council. It was their annual dance. We did it on the Royal Irish. Yeah. And they had a band on. They were on the stage. We were in front of the stage.
Yeah.
And then it was our turn to go on. The band disappeared to the bar. And we literally got out to the... You know, is it called the bar? To the boy where the Royal Irish turns?
Yeah.
Only to find that the band hadn't put the brakes on the wheels, so all the gear started rolling forward. But yeah, did mobile disco for seven or eight years.
So give us a year that we can put that in context. What was the height, and then where compare it to Rick's? Because this would be quite entertaining.
What years?
Yeah, go on.
So then started about 74 and finished 31st of December 1979.
Okay, all right.
That's it.
All right, and Rick, when was your when you were 15, 16, you know, behind the deck somewhere?
I'd have to give you my real age, but I can't give you my stage age.
You've got to show this
stage. It would have been about 1985.
Right.
1986, I was on the mobiles and all that sort of business.
Right. My question is this, and I asked this last week when Pez was in, because I find this quite funny. I read this book the other day all about John Peel, the broadcaster. Who sadly missed. And he always, you know, because despite being on the radio, he used to go and do gigs around universities and stuff, you know, because in the student population, he was quite credible. And he used to have this magic box that no matter what, he'd always play the songs because he'd know that these songs would get people moving. So, Rob, for you, in 74 to 79, I mean, what? That's the glam era, isn't it? Before punk came along and duffed up anyone who was into glam rock. So, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a bit of soul, a bit of Isley Brothers?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Me and my friend that I did it with, we were heavily into the soul. He more than myself. He sort of converted me from things like Deep Purple and that into soul. Yeah.
So you were into kind of heavy rock, a bit progressive?
And then moved towards soul, Tamla, because soul and Tamla would get people dancing. But I suppose at the time, you know, ABBA and all those sorts of one-hit wonders and a gentleman's name that I'd rather not mention these days, but he was always good to get people up dancing, you know?
Yes, he was a sad result of glam rock, wasn't he, in this country. All right, and what about you, Rick? Because I'm fascinated by this, so I'm just trying to think the mid... Well, actually, we'll go back, Rob. If there was one record that you... Can you remember one song that you would always stick on that would always get people to kind of, you know... I mean, I'll give you an example. I know, because I've never done this, but even I know, if you go to a wedding or a family party, you know, everyone's had several pints of Watney's Red Barrel, it would be Come On Eileen by Dexys Midnight Run. And they'd all get up and do it. So is there one song that you can remember now that you would stick on and people would always get on their feet?
There was a number that you would get people up. Traditionally, you know, traditional weddings were always dead until 9:30 when they had the buffet, the curly sandwiches, sausage rolls, and then they would dance to anything. Yeah. But you would hit them with Let's Twist Again and all those.
Always work.
And then if you wanted to clear them, play the conga and out they went, you know.
That was it. What about you, Rick? I mean, kind of, so we're talking mid-80s onwards. I mean, that's, I'm just trying to think. I mean, there was a lot of good pop around there, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. It was just sort of prior to the Stock Aitken and Waterman regime coming in. So we had the likes of Bross, they were knocking about. Yeah. In them sort of days. But again, if you were on the mobile discos, you always did your party set religiously anyway.
What was in your party set?
Well,
go on.
Literally the same as probably you were playing.
Yeah, really?
You know, 10 Years Here or whatever. It was your ABBAs, it was Let's Twist Again, it was The Locomotion, Little Eva, you know, just things like that. And we played a lot of stuff like that. And you don't even normally play possibly a couple of minutes of the record and then move on.
Right.
Because back when I was doing it, the party set was about cramming as many oldies into sort of 25 minutes as you could.
Yeah.
So you'd have a lot of jocks with their stacked up 7-inch singles by the side of them, all on Old Gold, which was the record label back then. Old Gold Records.
Yeah.
And you'd just be whizzing them in and whizzing them out as fast as you could, because similar to now, really, people just want to hear the strap lines of them.
Yeah. The thing was well, in those days, we were heavily governed by closing time.
Yeah, of course.
So you had last orders, you know, 10 to 11, two or three pints, and then, you know, I mean, I think Peter Kay's classic when he does the discos, you know, because it was literally like that.
Yeah.
You know, people coming to the dance floor, getting on there. And
What would be the slow songs that you might play? I always remember when I was growing up, it was Spandau Ballet and True at the end of every disco. You know, it's like, oh, God.
You'd start off with real old ones, like something like She Wears My Ring, you know, for a wedding.
Oh, yeah. What, Solomon Burke was that?
Solomon King.
Solomon King, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. But depending on whether it was a wedding, 21st, didn't do so many 18ths, but golden weddings, they were always a laugh, you know.
Yeah. What about you, Rick? So you'd have your party set, you'd be cramming all of these songs into 25 minutes. I mean, kind of. Well, both of you. What, I mean, what's it like? Because there is a myth, isn't there? I know people who got into this kind of business because they thought by being a mobile DJ or being a DJ, they did it because they thought it would attract the ladies. Did that work for either of you two?
Do you know, I always say it now because throughout the years, you sort of, for me, I developed from sort of mobile discos.
Yeah.
To clubs and bars and all that sort of thing, and then onto radio.
Yeah.
And I think it was the best training ever in the world for confident building in myself as well, to be able to stand there and use a microphone and in front of a room. It's, you know, daunting at first, but it is a confidence builder.
Yeah.
And I used to go round in a little white escort van. Okay, I had more fun in that little white van than I ever did in some of the nice cars I've had ever since. Because as you obviously get better and you earn more money, you want a nicer car and you want nicer things. Yeah. I remember, you know, touching for a really nice XR3i convertible one time. I thought, this is it. I made it.
I've arrived.
Yeah. Oh, Well, I don't know what it was. It was just nothing. I thought, the girl's about to swoop. Yeah. Absolutely. I had more fun in the little white escort band than you can imagine.
And what about you, Rob? Do you miss it at all? Because, you know, if you did that for a big chunk of the 70s there, do you miss that at all? Because there must be a performer in you to have done it for so long.
I don't miss lugging all the gear around, that's for sure. Particularly up the metal fire escapes when it's raining. But I suppose deep down inside there's still the kid in me wanting to go out and play. But I've been known to play the occasional CD at the local sailing club, when we have socials. There's nothing that would attract me out to do that.
You see, the technology's all changed because we're broadcasting this edition from Bloke Talk from a slightly different City Talk studio. I mean, that there is a turntable.
Yeah.
That is a rare sight these days on a radio station, and they're still in from last week. They are. Over there, you've got, if you were a proper jock now, you wouldn't even use vinyl. We've got these CD machines that you could do all that wicky-wacky-woo-ah stuff.
That's what we had Gary the Cabby on, isn't it?
That's what we did last week, you listen. and he was kind of like, he was attempting to mix. So it's all changed, the technology's changed.
Yeah.
It has. Listen, we'll pause for a second. It is Bloke Talk. You're listening to City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Bloke's in the studio. Got Rick Vaughan. He plays lots of pop music on Radio City. You have Rob Jones from Haydock. He's in his twilight years for an IT security company, which your words, not mine. Used to work in local government in Knowsley Council. We'll talk about that. And my name's Duncan. And it's Bloke Talk for the weekend here at City Talk.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
It is the weekend. Thank you for tuning in. It is City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool, and this is Bloke Talk, and you can find out more about this show by logging on to the City Talk website, which you'll find at www.citytalk.fm. Three blokes in the studio every weekend just talking about stuff. Blokes, at the moment, we have Rob Jones from Haydock, we have Rick Vaughan from Radio City, and I'm just kind of trying to work out where we got to. We got off on a very large tangent talking about mobile discos and lugging beer crates for the 7-inch singles up fire escapes on a very wet Saturday night. And that kind of is where we're still at, because we need to actually work out how Rick Vaughan got to the dizzy heights of, the broadcasting star that he is. So you were doing this in pubs and clubs, and then you kind of like, knocked on the door of Radio City in Stanley Street and said, "Give us a job."
No, do you know, it was a very strange occurrence, because a couple of my friends were already in radio and were working for Radio City.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm just sick of standing in pubs and just, I've had enough. I wanted to do radio. But I knew that financially it wouldn't be that great when I first started.
Yeah.
So I would have to still keep doing the pubs and clubs and try and do radio at the same time.
Yeah.
So I looked up at that time, an ex-Radio 1 jock called Bruno Brooks.
All right.
Yeah. And he used to run a radio school just outside London.
Yeah. He used to do a fishing programme on Sky One.
Yeah, well, that was done from his house. That was it, from the cottage where he lived.
Yeah.
That's where he did it.
Such a clash of cultures, eh? It's like, I never listened to Radio 1. I know this guy for fly fishing, and he went to his broadcasting school.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So I rung him up. I said, I need to make a demo, a professional demo.
Yeah.
He said, right, it'll cost you £2,500.
And what we should explain how that works is you kind of like, you do this thing, which is like a snapshot of what you're capable of doing, and you give it to the boss of the radio station. They go, that's great, we want to hear more. That's the idea.
It's a pretend mock-up tape of you on the radio.
Yeah.
So I went to his place with some ideas for a demo.
Yeah.
He put me in a studio with one guy who was going to mix it all the songs in and everything, and I just voiced it.
He didn't go fishing at all?
No.
No, right, okay.
he was in another room doing his show for some other radio station when over the line of thing. So I did give him the £250, come out of it, and give him his due.
Yeah.
He said to me, I've listened back to your tape, 3 minutes worth.
Yeah.
He said, you'll get a job out of that tape. And
that's
I'll just give you £250. You're bound to say that to a lot of people.
Yeah,
It was the best £250 I ever invested in.
Really?
Because from there, I obviously duplicated the tape, sent it out to about 30 radio stations, sort of nationwide.
Yeah.
Everyone from the big boys to the small boys.
Yeah.
And I got 5 job offers.
That's great, isn't it?
Never done radio in my life.
So how old were you at this point?
At that point, I would have been about 27, to be honest with you, 27, 28.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good, isn't it?
He's only 25 now.
I know, he looks so young, doesn't he?
I go backwards, but that's how it happened. And one of the job offers was Radio City.
It's amazing, isn't it? Which was your home station,
of course.
Which is great.
And
you went there and sort of like played the songs throughout the night and stuff like that.
Yeah, I did the sort of graveyard shift back then, which was great because it afforded me to still do my gigs 8 till 11 at night.
Yeah.
go home for an hour, get changed, get sorted, and then go to the station and do 2 till 6.
Did you say at the end of your nightclub gigs, don't forget, for 1 o'clock tomorrow morning,
as soon as I got the gig, it was like straight onto the posters.
Yeah.
You know, Rick Vaughan from Radio City.
And you could charge more, I guess.
Well, you can do, but in them days, it was 8 till 11.
Yeah.
So it was like just 3 hours work. Yeah, that's all you were doing.
Yeah.
Because the licensing laws.
Yeah.
At the weekends, it would be till 2.
Yeah.
But midweek gigs, just 8 till 11.
It goes back to what you were saying, Rob. Yeah. Actually, we forget now, don't we? Because we're in this climate where it's almost 24-hour, or, you know, 3, 4 in the morning. But at a time, you know, it used to be 11, 2, that was it.
Do you know, I remember them days, stood there in the likes of Yates' wine lodges that I used to do and all that, and I'd be looking at my watch thinking, 10 o'clock, only an hour to go, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And now some of my friends who are still doing it, they're working from 9 in the night till 4 in the morning, and I'm thinking, how you do it, I have no idea.
Did either of you ever see any fights when you were jocking?
Yeah.
Did you? Tell us about
always,
the fights you
always.
Saw.
Always. At my wedding.
Yeah. Didn't like the music you were playing. What happened?
It's just too much drink, isn't it? You know, and of course, very often, well, always when you've got weddings, you've got families meeting for the first time, you know.
Yeah.
But I've seen father and son fighting at weddings, you know. It is literally too much drink, the wrong thing said to the wrong person. Somebody gets upset.
Well, it's
just like town centre on a Saturday night, isn't it? The wrong thing said, and before you know it, it's a brawl.
And what about you, Rick? I mean, in your many years before you in the safe confines of a studio in Stanley Street, I mean, did you ever witness any rucks?
Yeah, I think in Liverpool as well, in that sort of, in the sort of 89-90 era, them sort of years, there was door wars going on. It was a little bit political in Liverpool over which security firms were running which doors and which clubs and bars.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of that going on.
Did that ever affect you at all? I don't want to incriminate you, but I mean...
To be honest with you...
It's a lie, I do not want to incriminate you.
You've got to just crack on, you know, crack on, try and keep everybody in the bar...
Yeah.
Not to notice it, which is hard, because there was door wars going on, you know, and that's the way it was. And for me, I just turned up, did what I did, and got out of there as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
and that was what it was all about.
Rob, let's go back to you for a second, because you know we spend so. I love these conversations because we go off all around the houses, and that's the beauty of it. You know, it's what happens when you get together over a pint. And again, I apologise, we're dry. I mean, when did you actually start getting involved in the local government work?
Direct from school, to be honest.
Yeah.
I wanted to leave school when I was 15, 16 and become a joiner, but was talked out of that by the careers advisor that they used to have at schools.
Yeah. I think they still have them, but they just go and work in the call centre.
Yeah. And I stayed on and did my A-levels very badly, because just a waste of 2 years, really. Didn't get anything extra out of that, but then just started applying for a job when all my friends were going to college and university. I decided enough's enough and I wanted a job.
Yeah.
And I applied for a job as a trainee computer operator for Heighton with Roby Urban District Council. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Had the interview and got the job and just went on from there, really.
So what did that involve? Because, again, technology has been amazing over the last 20 years. So as a computer operator then,
was it,
are we talking binary here? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it was a mainframe for 8K of memory. 8K, what can you do with that these days?
I'm just thinking, we've all got mobile phones, we've all switched off for this radio broadcast. I mean, how many K would be in a mobile phone now? You know, you can surf the net, you can take pictures, you can send emails, and there you are with 8K.
8K of memory for a mainframe that would probably fill half of these studios.
Yeah,
you know? But yeah, technology's moved on. Quite ironic, really, because my dad was in computers at the end of his career with the call board.
Yeah.
So and now my youngest son's in computers. So we've got three generations have gone through the computer, but my son is into the technology boom. But I spent. Biggest part of my career, the Heighton, and then 74 brought local government reorganisation, and hence why I worked for Northleigh Council.
Yeah.
And we just moved on from there, and my role changed as things moved
but
on.
But has it always involved computers and technology? Because it was a job you got as a trainee, but I'm guessing after a period you thought, actually, I quite like this.
Yeah, trainee and then to operator, and then you moved on into programming. And tried most jobs within the arena. Moved out of local governments briefly for 2 years to Northwest Water as an auditor.
Yeah.
Move on to the dark side, you know.
Yeah.
And then came back to Knowsley.
Yeah.
In the early 80s. And stayed there until just over 3 years ago.
Okay, and the kind of like most of that time at Knowsley was doing the same kind of work, the technology stuff.
But as the career moved on, it moved more into management.
Right.
So I was managing teams of people who were just running the computers for the council business.
Do you like management?
Yeah. I like people.
Yeah.
I'm a people person.
Yeah, I can
so
tell that,
I like to look after people and get to know them. Hopefully most of the people who work for me would say I was a good manager and I was a caring manager. So a caring bloke.
Good. What changed? You know, you said that you were doing that up until 3 years ago. So what kind of did you just think, I want to go and do something else? What's the story?
I just wanted to spend more of my life doing what I wanted to do and less time in an office-based environment. I was fast approaching my 50th birthday, and I applied for early retirement.
Right, okay.
And got early retirement, which was very nice, and I thank all the people who supported that.
Yeah.
But then literally 2 weeks before I was due to retire, I was offered a job.
Okay.
And by that time, I suppose I got a bit panicky because it sounded great, early retirement, you know.
Yeah.
And then you think...
But you were just over 50.
Yeah, I was... by the time it was all done and dusted, I was probably moving towards 51.
Well, I've got a couple of questions. I mean, the early retirement, was that because it was an opportunity you could seize? Or did you just think, you know, I want to do something else now? Because actually, I see that as quite a brave thing to do at the age of 50. Because I think some people might think if you're 50, it's just kind of like, well, I've got another 10... 15 years maximum. Do I want to stick what I'm doing or should I go and do something else? And to actually take that fresh approach is quite a brave thing to do. So what was going through your head?
I'd always sort of, from very early in my career, sort of set my stall out that 55 was the age I wanted to work up to, because you see so many people retire at 65 and they're not fit enough to do anything else.
No.
So I sort of geared up towards 55 and really, I suppose, what pushed me at 50 was probably John Prescott, because he was in charge of the pensions at the time, and he was playing around with all the rules and regulations, and I could just see this door closing on me. Thought if I get to 55 and it's slammed in my face, then that's it. So I'll take the opportunity, because it was an opportunity. It was there. I'll take that and I'll grasp that with both hands, and then I'll think what to do after I've retired. Then this job came along. Yeah. So I think I probably sort of panicked and took it,
yeah.
A full-time job, and I didn't really want a full-time job. But it was a young company. They were building it up, and they wanted full-time people. So I did full-time, and I've done full-time for almost 3 years, and then from February this year, I've gone part-time.
Okay.
What's
the name of the company?
The company is Emerger Limited, and I'm sure they'll thank me for the little plug.
Nice.
And they are predominantly IT security specialists.
Yeah.
And all the recent headlines have been very good for us, because the marketing director and the managing director have spent a lot of time on the radio and on TV explaining where all these companies, particularly the governments, have gone wrong in not securing the data.
Yeah.
So that's been good.
Or just leaving documents on a train going out of Waterloo.
You can't legislate for that, though, can you? That's just... most of it have been human error, to be honest. But that's the nature of the beast, isn't it?
And you've gone part-time now. I mean, what strikes me about that? I mean, well, there's two things. One, when Rick found out that you were an IT security expert, he said, are you the people who stopped me from looking at boobies on the internet? Which I think is quite entertaining, because I think that's, you know, a lot of us go, oh, that's, you're the man behind the spam filter, you know. But also, you had a strategy into where you wanted to go. You know, you looked ahead. I mean, do you have a strategy, Rick? I mean, you're here now, but it seems you've gone full circle. You started off at Radio City, Stanley Street, you know, Radio City now in the mighty City Tower. You've gone full circle over 10 years. Did you ever think you'd do that?
I always wanted to come back to Radio City, because it was me that left when I did to go on, because I knew I had to leave here to come back here.
Right.
Sometimes you have to do that in
Radio.
Yeah,
no, I can understand that.
You know, and I had to do that. So I did. I went out there.
Yeah.
Rolled the dice.
Well, let's join the dots. Where have you been? I'll tell you where I think you've been, because I looked at your website. You've been to Birmingham.
Yes.
You've been to Preston?
Yes.
Fill in the rest.
I also did a stint in sort of Chester and Wrexham way.
Right, yeah.
And I obviously did two stints as well in Los Angeles.
That's right. Tell us about that. How does that work? Because you're on the radio in LA, which is quite exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I originally went to LA for the very first time in about 98, something like that, with some friends on vacation.
Yeah.
A West Coast vacation, so LA, Vegas, San Diego.
Yeah, all the cool stuff.
Yeah, do that sort of thing. Bit of a road trip. And I just caught the bug.
Yeah.
I just caught the bug. And LA is a... It's a working town, it's a grafting town, and it can be hard on you. And it's somewhere where you'll either love or you'll hate.
Yeah.
You know, that's the type of place it is. I loved it, I caught the bug. And from 98 when I came home, I thought, that's where I kind of would like to be if I had a choice.
Yeah.
So I just started applying for jobs over there.
See, this is interesting because I know my point of reference here is, one, I've got family in the States, in Florida, and two, a contact of mine I haven't spoken to for years who tried to crack the talk radio scene in Los Angeles as a character called the Slimy Limey. He was the Slimy Limey, and he'd go on, and his whole thing was he would play on this English accent because, as you know, there's this deep attraction, you know, it's kind of like, hey, and he found it so hard to actually do it, and he almost kind of got there, but he couldn't make it to the top. It's hard, isn't it?
Do you know, the greatest myth is Americans love the English.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. If you're in McDonald's with some money in your hand waiting to buy a burger,
yeah.
If you're after a job,
yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah. So how did you crack it?
Luck.
Yeah.
Just real luck and knocking on doors and keeping on knocking. That's what it was all about.
You're in this country and you're applying for jobs in Los Angeles.
Yeah, in Los Angeles. Yeah. And come sort of 98, we would have started doing emails then and all that sort of business. I was still sending stuff out by post, though, to America, sort of demo tapes of me on the radio and all that sort of thing, Americanized versions. But they weren't going to take you serious until you were there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I decided then in about 2000, I'd roll the dice once more and I'd go there.
Brilliant. And what happened?
Well,
what we could do is actually, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll pause for a second and then we'll come back because that way people will want to find out how you cracked Los Angeles radio because I'm quite interested in that. Yeah. You ever worked abroad at all, Rob?
No, I haven't, I'm afraid.
Yeah. I think it's
quite boring, I suppose, in that
respect.
Yeah,
it's not boring. I think it's, I mean, you know, again, having American relatives, I go to a part of Florida occasionally called Daytona Beach, and people ask me what Daytona Beach is like, because it's known for its kind of like its motor cars and its bike racing and stuff, which is quite sexy. But actually, out of season, Daytona Beach is kind of like, it's like Chester mixed with Blackpool, really. It's a bit weird. And you know what it's like. If you're interested in music or radio or whatever, you kind of like, you listen to stuff and you find out about stuff. And I did some stints on a talk radio station called WELE 1380 Alternative Talk.
Hey.
And I co-presented the breakfast show for a week with like this American guy, and it was just so bizarre. It was the most bizarre thing of my life, because you're right with what you say. You know, you kind of think the Americans love the English, and they all think we're like Patrick McNee from the Avengers. Yeah. You know, we're walking around, we got our umbrella, we got our bowler hat, you know, and we drive a Jaguar, you know, and it's just kind of like, but it's when you're in the and I actually a couple of days in, you know, there were some emails coming into the station from people who are going, who is this Brit taking a Yanks job? So, you know, the hostility is out there.
Definitely.
Which is quite interesting. We'll come back and we'll talk about how you cracked Los Angeles radio. I also want to talk to Rob about his current job, and then we'll just kind of like do the more, you know, the more lifestyle stuff, because I'm working on the basis, both of you having carted beer crates with 7-inch singles up and down fire escapes. By default, you're probably good music men, so you like your music and stuff like that. At least I hope so. And we'll also find out what you're doing in your spare time. It is City Talk 105.9. It is the weekend. The show you're listening to is Bloke Talk.
This is a man's world.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing. Nothing. Without a woman or a girl.
I hope your weekend's going well. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Duncan Barks. I'm here with Bloke Talk at City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. My fellow blokes this weekend, Rick Vaughan from Radio City 96.7 and Rob Jones, who's a Haydock man, and he's an IT security... Well, he works for an IT security company now, because I said specialist earlier on, and you kind of went, oh, specialist. So these are the blokes in the studio, and we're talking about stuff, and where we actually got to was Rick, when he's not on the air across Liverpool and the Great Northwest. You can hear his voice in Los Angeles. So how does that actually work? I mean, because you were sending, last time we spoke, you were sending stuff out, you were sending some emails, because the dawn of technology and the internet meant you could email people and say, give us a job in Los Angeles. It's one hell of an achievement to get one.
It was, and it was just by knocking on. I realised the only way I was going to get a gig, as I said, was to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I committed to go there sort of 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
And just grafted, just made arrangements to go to meetings to meet these people.
Yeah.
And they agreed to see me in the flesh. And then once I rocked up, there was a case of saying, listen, I'm here now.
Yeah.
I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah.
And if somebody falls sick or somebody's ill or you need somebody to... It was this major step back, you know.
Yeah.
Just basically, I'm the man you call.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. And they did, luckily enough. However, they had nothing full term.
Right.
So I was just doing odd shifts here, there and everywhere sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, because I only had originally a 6-month visa to stay.
Yeah.
And that was coming close to expiring, which would have meant I'd had to leave America and come back in.
Sure.
To get another 6 months.
Yeah.
And something happened called 9/11.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And the country completely shut down.
Yeah.
And if you were not American, they wanted you out of America.
Yeah.
No matter who you were, they wanted to clean up their country straight away.
Yeah.
So I was at a sort of got.
So were you in this country when September the 11th?
No,
happened?
I was in America. I was in
you
LA.
Were in America.
Yeah.
What was that like when it happened at the time? Because I think everyone remembers where they were. They say there were certain things. You know, it's the old thing: Diana dying, JFK, if you're old enough, man landing on the moon. I remember I was when September the 11th took place. I wasn't even working in radio. I was working in a press centre, and you know, I just when we used to have like big TVs, and all of a sudden it was like my. God, what's happening there? Where are you, Rob?
I was in Kos, a Greek island, with me and my wife and my two sons. Our wedding anniversary is in October, but we'd gone early. We'd gone to Kos in September.
Yeah.
The four of us, we thought that would be the last family holiday.
Yeah.
I subsequently found out that you can always have family holidays as long as you're prepared to pay. but we were out there, and my two sons were just disappearing off somewhere. And they just spotted it on one of the large screens outside the bar. We thought it was a football match, to be honest.
Really?
When we saw him just stood there.
Sure.
But then they realised what had happened, and it was just like amazing. You don't expect those sort of things.
Not at all. And you were in Los Angeles when 9/11 happened. What can you remember from that time? Because that must have been actually quite surreal.
Well, with the time difference, because we were 3 hours sort of behind New York, 8 hours behind England.
Yeah.
So I was in bed.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine who's from New York rang me at the apartment. It must have been something like 6, 7 in the morning in LA. So I was still in bed. He rang me, said, get up, switch on the TV and explain briefly what was going on. And then from that point, he said, I'll ring you back in a minute. And then all the phone lines went down completely.
Really?
But just even though, and America is a huge place, I don't think you realise how vast it is until you actually get there and see exactly what it's all about.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, we were miles away from New York and 3 hours behind.
Yeah.
The way the people of LA united, I mean, everybody going around with American flags on their cars, you know, for days and weeks. And it just made you think, crikey, you know, they're in this together.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it didn't happen in LA. It happened in, obviously, New York. But just the amount of flags going around and people just really showing that they were Americans. And I think they are anyway, because most of the houses in America have their flag.
Yeah, they do.
All that sort of business.
Yeah, the cars have got the bumper stickers.
They're not afraid to show it.
Yeah.
And they came together, and it was when that happened that I obviously got shipped out.
Yeah. Do you like America?
Love it.
Really?
Love
it. Why? What's the attraction?
I love the Americans' attitude to life.
Yeah.
I love the weather in LA, which is the main draw. Yeah. Waking up every morning knowing you're going to put shorts on is a great feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
I never get sick of that.
Yeah.
And just the culture, just, you know, I love everything about it.
Would you go and live there?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're still on the air in Los Angeles as well, aren't you? Occasionally?
I still do odd shows for them, sort of. Yeah. Now and then we'll do sort of Memorial Day weekend specials, or they do sort of best of Beatles shows and all that sort of business.
Yeah. So you're the voice of the Beatles in Los Angeles.
I'm the fifth Beatle.
Stuff. All right, let's talk about music for a second. I mean, you know, I think it's worth exploring this. I mean, Rick, obviously music is part of your daily life because you play the songs on the radio. I mean, outside of a radio studio, are you a music fan?
You know, it's funny, on the radio, on my show, I was plugging some of the big artists that are coming to the Echo Arena.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, and you know, you can go see the likes of Girls Aloud and all these young trendy groups, Sugar Babes. Yeah. And I said, how ironic is this? I've just booked tickets for my next three gigs that I'm going to go to.
Go on.
Well, first one was Celine Dion, the second one was Neil Diamond, and the third one's Michael Ball.
You're on the wrong radio station. You need to be on the magic station next door.
That's carry me in, screaming and shouting.
That's the sort of music selection that people call me boring for, if I was to listen to those.
But you know,
look at Neil Diamond, though. Yeah. I mean, it's a massive renaissance now.
He was number one in the album chart two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I just find it so refreshing to go to concerts like that, where you can actually hear what they're singing, you can hear the words. It sounds really old.
That is an old man's comment.
I know, but it's just, I find it totally, and it's more of a show, it's a spectacular.
Yeah. Mm.
Celine Dion was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. The show she brought to Manchester was awesome.
Really? You see, I haven't bought any music, you know, since 1995, because as far as I'm concerned, all went wrong after that. What about you, Rob?
I just like listening to music that I can relax to, but again, like Rick, music that I can understand the words. Yeah. Just recently been listening to a lot of Jack Johnson. But people think this guy's boring. David Gray, I quite like him.
I like David Gray.
Yeah, he's making
And I know my boss will be rolling around laughing if he's listening to this.
Why?
Because he thinks David Gray is...
David Gray's great. So David Gray's good, you like Jack Johnson, and kind of, well, you're Celine Dion, Neil Diamond, that's kind of a...
Yeah, I'm all over the place. I just find it refreshing to go to them sort of concerts, really, sometimes. I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed Paul McCartney at Anfield a couple of weeks back. Yeah. You know, great gig, and the Zootons, local lads, absolutely brilliant. Kaiser Chiefs, great. But sometimes when you play them guys every day on the radio...
Yeah.
It's nice to go home and just listen to something different if you're going to listen to something different.
I used to love the Stranglers. Okay, I think the Stranglers are a great band. I still love most of the Stranglers' songs apart from Golden Brown, because I had to play on the radio every day for about 5 years of my life. And actually, it loses its effect. You kind of think, that's a shame. These songs lose because people like you and I used to play songs. So it's not a good place to be. What about outside of music, Ron? What else do you do?
My biggest passion is sailing.
Yep.
Dinghies, not big boats like us on the river, just a small dinghy. I was going to say a two-man or two-person dinghy, but I've just recently converted about 12 months ago to a single-hander, so I can please myself when I do it. If I don't want to do it, I'm only upsetting myself or I'm only letting myself down.
Mm.
But, I spend most weekends, Sunday afternoons, give my wife a breather.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to put up with me then.
Yeah.
She's not into it, so that's good. That's our own.
I find, I can't sail, but I'm lucky enough to know a couple of people who can. And what I love the most about it, and even when I've been abroad and taken something out, it's a tranquility. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's no one else out there. It's amazing.
When I was working for the council at times, I wouldn't hide it that it got pretty stressful at the council. You know, people think local government is easy peasy, but it's not.
Well, you're constantly accountable, you've got deadlines.
There's lots of hard work there, and it was just great to go, like you say, get out there. Only a little lake, just to get out there, you forget all your worries. Even more so now because I've nobody to argue with or shout at. And, I've been doing that mainly since I was probably about 13.
Brilliant.
I had a break when family came along because you've other demands on your time and your money. But then as things progressed, I mean, both my sons used to be into it, but not anymore.
No. I was going to say, it's one of the things that I think does actually get passed on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What about you, Rick? I mean, you know, apart from the Celine Dion, Neil Diamond concerts, you know, how do you just kind of switch off?
I still enjoy football.
Yeah.
All types of football. Yeah. I can watch it all day Sunday, which destroys my girlfriend's
mind. Do we have nails? Do we have colours nailed to a mast in this city?
I'm a red.
You're a red.
I'm a red, but I'm a football supporter. Yeah. You know, I enjoy watching
all
sorts of football.
I'm a blue.
You're a blue. Yeah. Prenton Park, Tranmere Rovers, Mighty White, political move.
Well, we're covering all bases then.
Well, you know, someone pointed out to me, you go to a city, Duncan, and you're starting a brand new radio station and a new radio show. don't divide your audience by 50% on day one. So I've been to Prenton Park and I served my time in the Mighty White. So
I would hardly call myself a supporter, though. I think 1965 was the last time I went to go to support. Yeah. Alex Young was still playing at the time, you know.
But still, your response to the fact of him saying you're a Red, you went... So you watch a lot of football. Do you play at all?
Not no more due to the ankle, the glass ankles.
Yeah.
But I love the football programmes with the so-called specialists talking about
Everyone's
it.
Everyone's a specialist.
You know, I love it. And from 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning in the football season to sort of 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm happy just to sit there and eat my way through the day and just watch.
Well, everyone's
what's
a football specialist, aren't they? I remember getting into a cab just off Clayton Square, and you know, the cabbie was going, I can't do the accent, I wouldn't offend anyone by attempting to do it, but he's just like going, you know what that Tom Hicks needs to do?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're absolutely right. Give him a call. So, anything else apart from football?
And to be honest with you, that's my big switch off, watching the football and chilling out doing that.
Yeah.
And just getting home and chilling and watching TV,
you
know, and not putting music on.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is.
You see, I'm the opposite. Working on a talk station now, I actually kind of I have a different appreciation of music. So I've got CDs in the car, which is great because I don't listen to music during the week. It's that simple. So, you know, I'll stick on AC/DC.
Right.
Right? Back to Black. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that's what it's all about. And I think sometimes you need to go away from it to come back and appreciate it again.
Yeah, definitely.
That makes sense. Yeah. And what floats your boat TV wise?
I have to be honest, I love mostly the American dramas like CSI and all that sort of business. Mostly American shows I do like quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think I've become Americanized over the over the years.
Yeah.
I do.
Are you a fan of The West Wing at all?
I love The West Wing. The West Wing was
that
great.
Is good. What about you, Rob? What do you like to do?
I'm just really into the sport. I like watching the football, but predominantly from where I am, it's rugby league.
Yeah,
so go to the matches and watch any match on the television.
Yeah.
And I seem to have lost control of the remote control in our house.
Yeah.
My wife sort of has taken over that. But generally this time of year, there's not much worth watching. Now the football season's finished and we've no interest in the Euro.
Let's gloss over the Euro, shall we? Right, listen, I've got the bloke talk, the questionnaire, the standard seven. Rob, if you could pass that to Rick, and then that's your one. These are very simple questions. They're seven questions, and you get them at the end, so you can't think about them too hard. And we'll go through them now. Bloke talk, the questionnaire, the standard seven. Question number one. Rick, what was the last film you watched?
It would be a repeat of a film I once saw, and it was on ITV2 the other night, My Date with Drew.
Oh, yeah.
About a guy who's trying to get a date with Drew Barrymore in 30 days, and he has like $1,000. Very Americanized again. But I rewatched that.
I quite like Drew Barrymore, actually. There's something about she's quite small and kooky, isn't she? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was a great movie. I rewatched it the other night.
It's a movie?
Yeah. It was like a docu-movie.
Right, and what happened? Did he get his date with Drew?
Yeah, he did, but not in the 30 days. It took him about 90 days to get it. But he eventually got a date with Drew Barrymore.
That's great. Rob, what about you? Last film you watched?
Last film I watched was A Few Good Men.
Oh, yeah.
Just flicking through the channels.
Jack Nicholson,
Tom Cruise. Yeah. It was literally at the weekend, flicking through the channels, and just came across that. I think it was waiting for something else to come on the television, to be honest. I thought that'll do. That'll plug the gap.
Fair enough. How would you describe yourself politically, Rob?
In terms of...
Well, it could be colours, it could be apathetic.
I suppose predominantly, again, you have to understand Haydock and St Helens, it's predominantly Labour, but probably moving towards... different when it comes to locally.
Yeah.
Locally, I tend to support the Lib Dems because they tend to do more for our community. But they don't seem to have it nationally, to be honest.
Okay. Rick, what about you politically?
You two are probably going to grimace at me now, but inactive, never voted, wouldn't want to.
I increasingly can understand why people wouldn't bother. That's a sad thing. All right, question three. What's your favourite time of the day and why? Rick, you start with this one.
First thing in the morning, early doors.
Yeah,
especially if I'm not working and it's the summer.
Yeah.
I love these sort of early mornings.
I know. 6:40 for me. What time for you?
Well, I'm more 8:40.
Rob, what's your favourite time of the day?
First thing in the morning, 6:30 every morning. Yeah. Up, walking the dog.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Love it.
Okay, question number four. What could you not live without, Rob?
My family.
Yeah. Rick?
Chinese food.
Brilliant. Favourite Chinese dish, just very quickly?
I love... I'm going through a big dim sum thing at the moment, yeah. So it's like shumai's ha gao, yeah. Sort of that sort of gear.
Yeah. Right, question number five. What would you have written on your gravestone, Rick?
Oh, crikey. What would you like written on your gravestone? I don't know. That's a fine. Tough one for me.
That's all right.
Rob, you'll know. Go first.
It's a hard one.
Have you tried rebooting? Tried switching off and switching
phone
it back
the help desk.
Care alt, delete.
I would like people to think that I was a good man, you know, who'd done the best he could for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Question six: where is the best place in the world? Rick, go on. You must have a. Is it stateside?
It's, well, for me, it would be probably stateside.
Yeah.
But again, I think the best place in the world is all in your mind anyway. It's wherever you are at that particular moment with the person you're with.
I think you're so right. What about you, Rob?
I'd say home. I like my holidays, but I like my home. I like my family. I like my dog.
Good. And the final question in the questionnaire is question seven. What is your favourite meal, starter, main and pudding? I think Rick's going to struggle with this, given his Chinese fetish, so we'll kick off with Rob.
OK, black pudding for starters, steak, and then I'm not really a pudding person, but jam roly-poly with lashings of custard.
You don't want cheese instead? You can have that as an option.
I'll have that as a side.
Yeah, good man. What about you, Rick?
Again, it would be back to possibly Chinese for me. It would be dim sum to start, a main course of possibly chow mein of some whatever, special.
Yeah.
And then for a pudding, it would be something like a tiramisu, maybe.
Nice one. Do you know, that's my... I'm going to go and get a Chinese now. Listen, gents, thank you for the last hour. It's been good. Rob Jones from Hey Doc, nice to meet you, and thank you for your time.
Thanks
and thank you for joining us this weekend. Rick Vaughan, Radio City 96.7 Star, thank you as well.
Thank you.
This has been Bloke Talk on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.